Welcome back to Chow Time Pods. Your host, I got a video today from Alexander Grace.
So I'm out having dinner with my girl, and I want y'all to just notice something. There's women, all eating there. Women, all eating there. Women. And let's not forget right there too, because they're everywhere. Oh my god.
Yeah, because men are probably barbecuing, watching the game somewhere at their house.
I don't normally go out, but when I do, I go out with my girls, and I am seeing something, a trend. Girls are all going out with their girlfriends. There's not like one date.
Let's be clear. Men have not disappeared from restaurants. In fact, men eat out more than women do.
I was gonna say, I believe we're out there more often.
In her own video, there are men hanging out with their buddies, drinking and eating. But that's not what she's noticing. What stands out to her, what feels jarring, is that there aren't men out on dates, entertaining women, picking up the check. You can see from her expression that she's not just making an observation here. This feels personal. It's like an affront. And that's a common emotional pattern, especially for women.
If they're not having dates, how can I ever get a date?
In moments like this, where male behavior gets filtered and evaluated primarily through the lens of how this impacts her.
So you mean to tell me if you don't text me back, it's okay because you're busy, but if I don't text you back, all of a sudden I don't love you anymore?
When you put it that way, it's okay.
Exactly!
That's a funny video. Her expression when she realizes that's priceless. But behind the joke...
It's funny, but it's not funny. It's sad that they're full-grown adults. Look at her. She's probably like 30-something, 40, and is barely like... Oh, I never thought of it. It's like, what the f-
There is a real phenomenon that has men feeling suffocated in their relationships because there is an inability for them to make statements about themselves without their girlfriends or wives taking it personally and making it about them. Imagine a couple where after dinner, the man makes a statement about himself. He says, oh, I'm so tired. And then she responds, I'm sorry that having a meal with me must be so exhausting for you. He feels pressured to say sorry, to just swallow his truth to keep the peace. But that's only going to make things worse and set off a...
I mean, if you go along with those shaming tactics, you just get more of it.
Very toxic cycle. Let's take a look. First, he makes a neutral statement about his own internal state. I'm tired. But she then filters it through her own emotional lens. And what she hears is a criticism or a rejection. If he tries to clarify, like, oh, no, that's not what I meant. Then there's the risk that she accuses him of minimizing her feelings or even worse, trying to gaslight her. To say something as direct as, I think you're personalizing this, this isn't about you, that doesn't feel safe. There's too much emotional volatility in the air. And so instead, he apologizes. He takes accountability for her emotional reaction. He buries his truth just to avoid escalation. But every time that's
a lot of us. You know, we just don't want to battle all the time with women, especially the one that we love, right? Sometimes it's like, is it even worth this battle of argument and all these things? Most men are just like,
ugh. That happens, the pattern deepens, and the chance of it repeating only increases.
True.
This toxic cycle is enabled by a number of falsities, and in this video, I'm going to show you that all three of them are complete myths. Number one, she is emotionally in tune with herself. That is a myth. Number two, she wants to connect with you. That is a myth. And number three, she hates herself, so she can't possibly be self-centered. That is the biggest myth of them all. Let's start with the first myth, because this one runs deep. A lot of women genuinely believe that their ability to feel strong emotions is a sign of emotional health. They see it as a virtue, like they are in touch with their feelings. And yes, it's true, she feels everything intensely. She can find personal meaning in every interaction. But here's the truth that a lot of women are just not ready to hear, which is that emotional intensity is not the same as emotional clarity. Feeling deeply doesn't automatically mean that you understand what you're feeling or why you're feeling it, or if that...
it's kind of actually worse when you feel something so deeply. Sometimes you're not aware of why you feel so deeply about it.
That feeling is rationally justifiable. In fact, sometimes the stronger the emotional reaction, the further somebody is from actual reality. And when someone in a relationship makes everything about themselves, the impact on the other person is devastating. It crowds out the emotional space, so there's no room for anybody else to breathe. No room for his subjectivity or for his inner world. How can he feel his own emotions if she is constantly monopolizing the spotlight? When conversations keep getting derailed, when every topic somehow loops back to her feelings, her interpretations, her sense of being judged or criticized, then he starts to feel like he doesn't matter and that the whole process is pointless. He wants to talk about himself, but everything that he says gets filtered through her emotional lens, and she interprets his words as though they are a judgment of her. He says, "I'm proud of myself for losing weight." But she responds, "Why are you always shaming me about my weight? You know I don't have as much time as you do to exercise." Or he says,
"Oh my gosh, that is such a... that one hit home for me right there." Because I love working out. And I want to, every time I get a little chubby, I start working out again. I build a little bit more muscle. I lose weight. I look a little bit different. Every time I'm with a woman, she was like, "I always like, yeah, I feel so good now. I started working out." She's like, "What? You saying I'm fat?" I'm like, "No, I'm saying I'm happy that I'm like thinner than I used to be. Not saying that you're fat. How did that translate to that?" But women.
Says, "I'm feeling nervous about becoming a father for the first time. I'm scared about my new responsibilities." And she replies, "You're not the one who has to give birth. This is going to be way harder on me than it is you." Mm. It's absolutely tragic, because that right there, that was an opportunity for connection. He was expressing vulnerability, and there was a chance for her to meet him emotionally. She could offer support. They could build intimacy, which brings us to the second myth. She wants to connect with you. Because even if she believes that that's what she wants, her behavior over and over and over creates the exact opposite outcome. True. Connection happens between two autonomous, independent people. They exist separately, but they choose to come together. That's what connection is. But when one partner, in this case a woman, doesn't make room for the man's emotions, point of view, his values, when everything gets rerouted back to her, what's happening isn't connection, it's emotional fusion, not intimacy. Imagine a ruler who has been at war with a neighboring kingdom for years. He's exhausted by the conflict and he decides that he wants peace. So after one final bloody battle, he defeats the opposing force and he declares the war over. But instead of creating mutual peace, he enslaves the population. He takes full control of the land and then plants his banner everywhere. Now, technically, the fighting has stopped, but that's not peace. That's conquest, control masked as harmony. Now, in the same way, when a woman moves into a man's emotional world and begins planting flags on every part of his psyche.
Damn, this picture is quite telling.
Labeling.
This is mine. This is mine. This is mine. You're mine.
Every thought, every feeling, every experience as being somehow about her. This is about me. That's about me too. Your feelings there, they're also about me. That's not connection. That's not intimacy. What she's doing is fusing his entire existence to herself. She is colonizing his personhood. Once the process has fully played out, his independent self, his emotional sovereignty, that's all been vanquished. And yes, at that point, the arguments often stop. And she might genuinely believe that this new dynamic is what connection looks like. To her, this feels like closeness, like intimacy, harmony. But it's not connection, it's conquest. And at some point, there might be a rebellion, an uprising, where some remnant piece of indignation inside him rises up and objects to this dynamic and says something like, "Doesn't this seem unfair that everything is always about you?" And there he may encounter the final myth. Because for women who are caught in this pattern, it's rare that it's something that they're consciously aware of. And so her immediate reaction to him saying, "This doesn't seem fair," is going to be one of anger and defensiveness. And she says, "How can you say that? I hate myself. I'm miserable. I have low self-esteem. You know how much I struggle." And sadly, this part is often true. She is genuinely suffering. She may feel insecure, lonely, emotionally unstable. And in many cases, that's the exact reason why she has been monopolizing the emotional space in the relationship. Not from malice, but from unprocessed pain. But what all women who act like this need to realize is that
they just need to go on their healing journey. That's all it is.
Just because you are suffering, that does not mean that your actions are not also causing a lot of harm. If you absorb all of the suffering in the relationship so that there's no room for his, that's emotional coercion. He knows that you're unhappy. It's probably his compassion that keeps him around. He sees you're in pain. He wants you to feel better. But when every attempt that he makes to express himself gets ignored or dismissed or criticized, he eventually picks up the message. My existence bothers you. Any reminder of my separate personhood triggers you. It causes you emotional distress. And so he adapts. He shrinks. He edits himself. He gets smaller and smaller and smaller until eventually his independent self barely exists. When a man in a relationship...
I felt like that was how I was in my marriage. As he's going through this, and just like flashbacks of each of these moments of how I felt. That sounds about right, right? Yeah, we lose our individual self because we infused with them. They infuse with us, so we feel that we need to do everything with them. Everything is kind of tailored to them.
Chip starts censoring his own thoughts, filtering his feelings, and silencing his truth. In service of protecting her emotions, that is not connection. That's just self-erasure. After conquest, if enough years passed, even the most vibrant, independent territory can forget that it once had its own customs and culture. Everything just gets absorbed, neutralized, and forgotten. And this is what can happen inside relationships. And sadly, there are women who unconsciously feel safest in relationships, where the men have become predictable and non-confrontational and emotionally blank. That way there are no surprises, no emotional risks. And she might enjoy her feeling of safety, but it's a tragedy because her comfort has come at a devastating cost to that man. The dynamic is fundamentally toxic because her emotional stability has become dependent upon his emotional self-abandonment. His job becomes keep her calm, keep her comfortable, manage her reactivity. And the way that he does this is by erasing his own emotional truth. And this dynamic is not rare. It's frighteningly common.
It really is. Again, as I'm going through my own relationship and my own marriage, like I see this very often myself too.
Actually, what sits underneath?
Actually, like a good chunk of my friends that are married now, I feel they act this way, or they're very this way with their wives. And again, I've always had a little bit of issues with some of their wives, but...
That familiar catch cry of male defeatism, happy wife, happy life.
What's your advice for couples that are looking to have a long and healthy relationship?
Listen to your wife. Whatever she says goes.
How did you learn that lesson?
Two failed marriages. Third one I learned.
So what would be your advice for a long and healthy marriage?
Do what she say. That's it. Trust me. That's it. Don't do anymore. Don't even think anymore. She say something, you make.
The wife is always right.
I've gotten a few of those already.
What's your advice?
Wife is always right.
Understand that these men are not rare exceptions. There are many men who have realized through painful trial and error that the easiest way to have peace in a relationship is to just give in, is to just live entirely inside her world, to stop asserting, to stop pushing back, to stop trying to bring their own inner life to the table. The sooner that he realizes that there's no real space for his reality to exist, the sooner he stops struggling. A common source of confusion amongst modern women is, why don't men open up more? Why aren't they more real? Why can't they be real? Why can't they be authentic? Why can't they tell me what they're feeling? But I think that there is a lack of understanding from modern women about how painful it is for a man to express himself to a woman, to reach out, to be vulnerable, to try and connect with her, only to watch her flinch or get defensive or change the subject. And after that happens enough times, of course he goes silent, especially when it's something that matters to him, something that touches a core part of his identity. And from the woman's perspective, if his truth is going to destabilize her peace, she might not want to hear it. Not out of cruelty, but out of emotional self-protection. It's grim to consider, but...
This cycle is kind of devastating for us men, isn't it?
We have to be honest about this. Sometimes what she's protecting is not the relationship. It's her own emotional equilibrium. In those moments, her goal isn't to understand him or connect with him.
I don't think it's ever been a goal for women to really understand us.
Her goal is to actively prevent anything from arising that's going to disrupt her feeling of emotional safety. Outside of relationships, on a cultural level, men often find it difficult to engage with women emotionally and intellectually because there's an underlying fear that any disagreement, any difference in perspective could be reframed by the woman, not as a dialogue, but as a personal insult. It grows a very real fatigue. He doesn't want to share his inner world with her if she's just going to make it about herself. And all of this gets magnified by the world that we're living in, with the algorithms and the identity politics and the echo chambers. There is an inherent narcissism built into social media itself. The influencer culture constantly reinforces the idea that everything is about you, your feelings, your validation, your storyline. And given that the dominant cultural message that we are subjected to is one of feminism that often encourages women to put themselves first, it's not surprising that many men feel like women are not making room for the male emotional experience. Think of the goals of early feminism: voting rights, access to education, property, inheritance. Not every man wanted to disrupt the status quo, but overwhelmingly, men took women at their word. Women said that they wanted equal rights, and men could see the fairness in that. It wasn't interpreted as an attack on men or a rejection of masculinity. It was seen as a step towards balance. And yet here...
And men are cool with that.
We are now, decades later, with the men's rights movement still in its infancy. But topics like child custody, false accusations, paternity fraud, it's almost impossible to discuss these openly without being met with suspicion or being labeled as anti-women. We can't fix this culture overnight, but you as an individual, you can protect yourself. First step, you have to know that you have a right to exist. A woman who is capable of...
You know, I posted that meme of how to anger a woman. And a lot of us, a lot of men commented just existing. That's sad that we as men know ourselves, just us being in their presence, it upsets them. Right? That's crazy. But that doesn't mean that you're not allowed to exist. That's the great thing that Alex just said, right? You're allowed to exist. Just because they feel you shouldn't exist or they are upset at your own presence and existence, screw them.
Truly loving you, she welcomes your thoughts and your emotions. She wants to get to know you better and she loves that you're a separate person. And the second step is that you've got to learn to recognize the danger signs. Ooh. If you find yourself regularly apologizing for emotions that she's feeling that you never intended for her to feel, or you find it difficult to speak about yourself without her default response being defensive and making it about her, then you might be in an unhealthy dynamic. Now, I'm betting most of you guys are thinking, my girlfriend does this some of the time, but it's not like an everyday occurrence. I don't want to end the relationship. There's a lot of good here. But this part of our dynamic, I don't like. How do I fix it? How do I support her so that we can have a healthier relationship? There is something that she can do, and it's called psychological decentering. It involves very specific steps that she needs to take, and there is a role for you as her partner to support her through that process.
The happy wife, happy life thing, it's everywhere. It's like in my finance office. A lot of men say that. A lot of men live that life where they're so scared of their wives and so scared of rocking the boat because of this, right? Anything that we say sometimes emotionally charges them and ruins our day, months, sometimes even years, right? And we're just not willing to do it. And it sucks that so many men gave up. That's pretty much men giving up. Please like, subscribe, comment down below. I really appreciate that. And I'll catch you guys next time.